The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Jesus says, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. Now, when I was a child of 8 years old, I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in my class, there was another child about my age named David. And David wore thick bottle glass glasses because he had terrible vision. And his skin was pasty white, nearly translucent, and covered with freckles. And he needed an inhaler for his asthma. And he didn't live with his parents. He lived with his adopted grandmother, who lived in a hotel. And perhaps because he had had a hard life, she showered gifts on him, snacks and toys, which he brought to school. And what I quickly discovered is that perhaps because he had bad eyesight, he wouldn't notice when these things went missing. And so I began to take them, bit by bit. At first it was snacks like fruit roll-ups or gushers, and then it became Ninja Turtle action figures. And eventually I stole a Sega Genesis game cartridge, which didn't do me any good because I didn't have a Sega Genesis on which to play it. But I kept all these things to myself. And yet, as I kept all these things, I realized there was one thing that I could share. I could share my disdain for David. I could share that with my friends as we would gather together to bully and pick on him. And one day in particular, I remember during recess on that dusty sand of New Mexico, we gathered around him in a circle, and some of my other friends knocked him to the ground. But I even then showed a proclivity to public speaking, and I began to hurt David not with my fists, but with my words. I didn't resort to simple taunts about his appearance or his eyesight. I cut deeper, suggesting that perhaps I knew the reason why he had to live with an adopted grandmother. I suggested reasons that perhaps he was inherently unlovable. In that moment, I shattered David, and he broke down in sobs and tears. His eyesight might not be very good, but he could see when his dignity was robbed. And at the end of the day, I was hauled into the principal's office. And there was not just the principal, there was David's grandmother. In that moment, I was busted. I had been caught stealing not objects, but a child's dignity, a child's spirit. And that's where we find ourselves today in our lesson from Genesis. Genesis 28:10, where we began our reading, says that Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. And to understand why he does that, you need some backstory, because we have been following the story of Abraham and Sarah's family. And last week we learned that Abraham and Sarah's son Isaac and his wife Rebekah have twins, Esau and Jacob. And we learned that while Esau was the firstborn and by rights would inherit twice as much as his brother, Esau sells his inheritance to his younger brother Jacob in exchange for a bowl of stew when he is starving. And while it may be ethically dubious to extort inheritance out of someone for a bowl of stew, at the end of the day, Esau agreed to it. But what happens in the next chapter, a chapter that our lectionary, which is supposed to decide the readings we hear each week, chooses to skip over. In Genesis 27, what we hear is that as Isaac becomes an old man, his eyesight begins to fade. He doesn't see very well. And so he knows he's about to die. And before he dies, he wants to pass on the blessing that he received from his father to his firstborn son, Esau. So he tells Esau to go and hunt wild game and prepare a stew, because Esau is an outdoorsman, big and hairy and tough. And so Esau goes out into the woods to try to find an animal to hunt. But while Esau is out in the woods, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, says to Jacob, whom she prefers to Esau, because Jacob, he's an indoors kind of boy. He's soft and he's smooth. She says, I would rather you get your father's blessing than that your brother Esau does. And Jacob says, but my dad will know it's me. And she says, well, I'll tell you what, here's what we'll do. I will cook up a meal just the way your dad likes. You put on Esau's best clothing, go slaughter some goats, and take their skin and put it on your arms. That way, if he feels you, he'll feel the hairiness and think it's Esau. So Jacob does. He goes and brings his dad's favorite meal, and he says, hey, I'm Esau. I am here for my blessing. And Isaac says, you don't sound like Esau. He says, wait, how did you prepare a meal so fast? You just went out to hunt. And Jacob says, oh, the Lord your God blessed me with a successful and quick hunt. And Isaac says, let me smell you. And so Jacob leans forward, and Isaac smells, and he smells Esau's clothing. And he says, well, this does smell like Esau. And he says, let me feel you. And he feels Jacob's arm. He feels the hairy goat skin. And he says, you are hairy, just like Esau. And he says, okay, you must be Esau. And so Isaac gives Jacob the blessing that is meant for Esau. And then Esau comes home. And when he realizes that his younger brother has stolen the blessing that was meant for him, he is enraged. And he vows that he will kill Jacob. And so Jacob has to run, which is why he left Beersheba and went to Haran, because he was running for his life, because he was busted. He was caught not stealing an object. He was caught stealing his brother's dignity, his brother's spirit, his brother's blessing. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells a parable about a farmer who goes and sows wheat in his field. But at night, when everyone is sleeping, when their eyes are closed, someone comes and sows in the field weeds. And the wheat and the weeds grow up together. And so the servants say to their master, shall we go and pull out those weeds? And Jesus explains that the farmer is Jesus, the Son of Man. And that the good seed, that wheat, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, which he has planted. And he says the weeds are the children of the evil one. Now, it makes sense why the disciples would want to tear out the weeds, why they'd want to tear out from this world the children of the evil one, why they'd want to take away from this world all the people who cause suffering and pain. And if they're going to do that, they might as well start with those who lie to their dying fathers and steal from their hardworking brothers. They might as well pull out the people who bully children who look different, who rob from the blind. They might as well pull out Jacob. And they might as well pull out me. But when Jesus is asked, should we pull out these weeds? Jesus answers, no. And God gives the same answer. Because as Jacob flees from his brother and from his father, he can't outrun his heavenly father. The road from Beersheba to Haran is a long one, and so Jacob has to spend the night on the hard ground, and he uses a rock for a pillow. And as he sleeps, he has a dream, a vision. And in that vision, he sees a ladder connecting heaven and earth. And on that ladder are angels going both up and down. And as he sees heaven and earth united, he hears the voice of God saying to Jacob, the land on which you sleep will one day be yours, the land to the north and to the south, to the east and the west. And not only will the land be yours, but your children will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And in you, every family of the earth shall be blessed. Jacob has just stolen his family's blessing, and God has caught him. But God doesn't punish Jacob. God doesn't demand that Jacob returns the blessing that he stole. Instead, God says to Jacob, this blessing that you have stolen from your family, I am now going to entrust you to share that blessing with all the families of the earth. And that's what David's grandmother did to me. Because when I was hauled into the principal's office, and David's grandmother was there, she didn't yell at me or scold me or even force me to admit what I had done. Instead, what she said to me is, "Ben, I know that there are some children in your class who are bullying David. They've been stealing from him. They've been taunting him. They've been pushing him around on the playground and saying hurtful things." And she said to me, "Ben, I know that the kids in your class, they look up to you. And so I want to ask you, will you defend David? Will you watch out for him? Will you be David's protector?" I am to this day amazed by that woman's wisdom. Because she could have said to me, "Ben, you are a bad seed." And she would have had every right to do so. She could have said to me, "You are a child of the evil one and demand the utmost punishment." And she would have every right to do so. And I might have gone to resent David, to find other ways to act out against him. Or I might have believed what she said about me, that I truly was a child of the evil one, and I may have chosen my whole life to act in that way. But instead, David's grandmother said to me, "Ben, you are a good seed. You are a child of the kingdom." And she gave me the opportunity to live as if I was. And I tried. I honestly did. I recognized in that moment how much grace I had received, and I strived to the best of my ability to take care of David from that day forward. Jesus, in his parable, says that there are children of the evil one and children of the kingdom. There are weeds and there are wheat, but Jesus says they grow together. And in this world, those roots are so intertwined and tangled that you can't tear up one without tearing out the other. And it will be that way until Jesus comes again with the angels. On the day of judgment, Jesus will take each and every one of us, and then he will tear us apart. He will tear out the causes of all evil and the part of us that does evil, and he will destroy that forever in the fiery furnace. So that what is left of us is that part that is the child of God's kingdom that Jesus created, so that we might shine radiant in God's kingdom. As Lutherans, we have a term for this reality of having both weeds and wheat growing in us at the same time. In Latin, the phrase is simultatis justus et peccator. But in English, we say simultaneously saint and sinner, that we are both saint and sinner at the same time. This is what David's grandmother saw about me, that I wasn't just a bad kid, but that I was a kid who had both, and she chose that moment to choose to encourage the good in me, to have the wheat flourish in my heart. But not every child is given such grace. In the United States, African-American children are punished at school at far greater rates than children with white skin. From kindergarten through high school, black boys are 3 times as likely to get suspended as white boys, and black girls are 6 times as likely to get suspended as white girls. African-American boys are 3 times as likely to be arrested by the police at school. And part of the reason for this is that in our society, so often people of color are not seen as full human beings with the good and the bad mixed together. But people who look like me are given that opportunity to be seen as whole human beings. In our society right now, our whole nation is having a conversation about race. And one of the worst titles that we can give someone today is to call them a racist. And admittedly, when I hear that term, I get defensive and I want to close up. But there are different kinds of racism. There is an active racism that, yes, sees people's difference and acts to harm those people through words and actions. And I have to admit that in my 8-year-old self, I saw someone who looked different than me and my classmates, not because his skin was darker, but because his skin was lighter, because he had physical disabilities. And a part of me knew, even at that age, that because he was different, I could get away with stealing from him and hurting him. That sin lives in me, even if now, 27 years later, I do a better job of suppressing it. But there is another kind of racism, a passive racism, one that we do not choose for ourselves, but that is given to those of us with light-colored skin, which is to say, we don't experience being judged for our worst moments in the way that people of color often are. We are seen as a whole human being, and that is a privilege not granted to everyone in our society. And so we have a choice. We have a choice to try to deny that there are these weeds that grow within us, that we benefit from reapers who tear out others but do not tear us apart. And if we do that, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And we have a choice to try to tear out others when we see sin in them, but when we do so, all we do is tear apart God's kingdom. And so rather than denying sin, the Bible is the most honest book that you will ever read about the human condition. And it will tell you that all the heroes that we looked up to, all our ancestors in faith, are sinners through and through. And yet God makes saints of them. Not because they are perfect, but because God can work through them no matter what, just as God can work through each and every one of us. Yes, Jacob steals his family's blessing, but God says to Jacob, I will make you share that blessing with all the families of the earth. And when Jacob has this vision, the first thing he does is take the rock on which he had been sleeping when he had this vision. And instead of keeping it for himself as a reminder of that moment where he encountered God, Jacob sets that rock up on a pillar and leaves it in that place for all to see, so that they might know that God is there in that place even when Jacob is long gone. So may we, as we encounter the sin in ourselves and in each other, may we not rush to tear out weeds that are our siblings in Christ. May we instead, like Rebecca, take skins of goats and place them on each other, that when our Heavenly Father feels us, he feels his firstborn son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that he smells not our sin, but Christ's righteousness, for we are clothed in Jesus, that we might receive the blessing of the firstborn Son of God. And having received that blessing, may we share it with all the world, let every child know that they are a son of our Heavenly Father. Amen.